They tried to trick him. They tried to trap him. They tried to question him. They tried to accuse him. But you can't keep Jesus down. They tried to mock him. They tried to spit on him. They tried to beat him. They tried to humiliate him. But you can't keep Jesus down. They tried to silence him. They tried to murder him. They tried to bury him. They tried to guard him. But you can't keep Jesus down. Well, on Good Friday, we know that Jesus is dead. His body has been placed in a tomb, and a big stone has been rolled in front of the entrance to that tomb. End of story. Problem solved. And yet it is the chief priests and the Pharisees who go to see Pilate. These men who have manipulated the situation and had pushed Pilate into a corner had achieved what they wanted. Jesus was dead. And yet, even they are not sure that death is the end of the story. Look back at verse 63. "Sir," they said to Pilate, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead." So it is that the tomb is sealed, perhaps with clay, perhaps with rope and wax, making that stone hard to move. And some guards are put on watch to make sure that no one interferes with the tomb. The only problem is that the chief priests and the guards were not looking to see what God might do. They were only looking out to see what man might do. They were ready to fend off any grave robbers, but they couldn't handle God. And verse 2 tells us that there was a violent earthquake, and then an angel comes down from heaven, rolls back the stone, and sits on it. What an image. Sitting on that stone may have shown that the work was finished. But the angel didn't need to move the stone so that Jesus could walk out. The resurrection had already happened. The stone was moved so that people could see and know that Jesus Christ was not there, but was alive. Well, the 70s was a great time for disaster movies. I know some of you are too young, but that was my teenage years. Airport, The Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, and of course, Earthquake. I remember going to see Earthquake in Leicester Square. It was presented in Sensoround. Oh yes, Sensoround. Enormous low-frequency speakers were in the cinema, and they emitted some amazing rumbling sound effects, which to a 15-year-old was quite impressive, if a bit over the top. Well, resurrection is an event that should shake the entire world. And yet some people think that you can have resurrection and still have the world as it is. Hasn't been changed. They want to have Easter and still have things as if they were yesterday, before all this happened. They want to be unrocked by resurrection. Well, we know that in Luke's gospel, he does Easter as a meal on a Sunday evening with the risen Christ. John has the resurrected encounter with Mary Magdalene in the garden. But Matthew, Easter is an earthquake which shakes doors, takes a rock away from the tomb, and dead people walk in the streets. The stone is rolled away by an angel. Well, it's said that you can't explain a resurrection. Rather, resurrection explains us. The world may believe that all that live die. The good get it in the end. Let's face facts. It may be a rather somber world, but it is a world where things stay tied down, and what dies stays that way. And there are few surprises. But Easter is about God. God creates a way where there is no way. God who makes war on evil until evil is defeated and has no more control. God who raises Jesus from the dead to show us who's in charge here. But Easter sometimes is also about chocolate. I don't know if any of you have eaten chocolate with tomato ketchup this morning. I know someone who has. I don't know if you've eaten chocolate with bacon, but I know someone who has. Chocolate. Of course, Easter, sometimes we think of chocolate. And I don't approve of branding, but there is a certain type of chocolate. Now, I need two volunteers. I don't know if Daniel or Nathan want to come and do it, do you? If you'd like to stand and hold those two M's out front as M's. However, they're not just M's, but they're also W's. That's it. And they're not just M's or W's, they're also E's. And they're not just E's, they're also threes as well. So, if you're ready, we're going to do a little poem. So if you can move them around according to where we get to, okay? The sweets tell a story. The best news you'll ever hear. It's about Jesus dying on the cross so that we could be brought near. So hold them and turn them and you will see the M becomes a W and an E and a 3. So, the E stands for Easter. God's everlasting love and his eternal plan. It reminds us of the cross and the way God rescued sinful man. The 3 represents the 3 days Jesus spent in the grave. By his death, his children he did save. The M, The M reminds us of the mercy the Messiah showed as he died in our place, and the miracle of the resurrection, so we can see him face to face. The W reminds us that he alone is worthy of our worship and praise, and calls us to be his witnesses around the world all our days. Well done. Thank you. Well, here we have at Easter an angel perched on the rock, rolled from the tomb. Well, if we remember back to the start of Matthew's Gospel, an angel shook Joseph awake one night with the news that his fiancée was pregnant. Perhaps another type of earthquake. What God did at Easter in invading the tomb, God did in a virgin's womb. He made a way when there was no way. He took charge. An angel told Joseph, "Name the baby Emmanuel, God with us." An angel tells the woman here, "Do not be afraid. He isn't here. He is risen." Jesus, who grew up, was crucified, made the earth shake, is on the move to take back the world. On the cross, the world did all it could do to Jesus. At Easter, God did all God could do to the world, and the earth shook. We may not necessarily explain it that way, but we do need to witness it. And that's why the risen Christ appeared first to his disciples. They had heard him teach, seen him heal, watched as he loved the poor and attacked the rich, watched him be arrested by soldiers, tried by the judge, and crucified. They were the ones able to recognize him, this risen Lord, that he was indeed the risen Christ. At Easter, God took the cruel cross and made it a means of triumph. God, the same Creator who made light from darkness, a world from nothing, took the worst he could do, or the worst we could do, and brought new life, life in all its fullness. And the earth shook. And we've all been shaken up since then. A new world has been offered to us. Jesus coming back to forgive his disciples who had deserted him, and to forgive us. The world had been shaken up. When the stone was rolled away and the earth shook, we got our first glimpse of this new world. A world where death doesn't have the last word. A world where injustice is put right by the action of a powerful God. Max Lucado tells his story of a time when he served on a battleship. Two battleships were at sea on manoeuvres in heavy weather. The visibility was poor, patchy fog. So the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on everything. Shortly after dark, the lookout reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, captain," which meant that they were on a dangerous collision course with that other ship. The captain called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on collision course. Advise you change course by 20 degrees. Back came the signal. Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, send. I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. I'm a seaman, second class, comes the reply. You had better change course 20 degrees. The captain was getting furious. He spat out, send another message. I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the message. I'm a lighthouse. The captain changed course. It's interesting to note, isn't it, from our reading. The bit I read out from verse 64. What the chief priest said, they were worried that his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. And yet, that is exactly what had to happen, wasn't it? Because we see later on, at the end of our reading, verse 12, when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. The very thing they didn't want to happen was the very thing they had to spread the rumour about. We can try to seal the tomb. We can try to keep a lid on our problems. We can try to decide what direction we're going in, what future we will have, and try to tell God what's best for us. But just as a lighthouse is fixed, and the battleship would eventually have to change direction, so we need to think about how we stand before God and what will happen when we meet him. He is fixed as our creator. He is king of all. And we need to be prepared to serve him and tell others about him. The women went out to the tomb thinking that Jesus had gone. When they left, we're told that they were afraid but filled with joy. What an interesting combination, to be afraid and yet filled with joy. And they, like us, had encountered the power of the living God. And now they, and we too today, have the task of telling other people that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that should shake everyone. Let's pray. On this resurrection morning, Lord, we do thank you that you have indeed shaken our world, that you've shaken our lives, you've shaken us up. And Lord, we pray that we will respond to your calling, that we will in turn share that good news with the people around us, that Jesus is in control of this world, that there is no need to fear death. For we have the promise of eternal life. Amen.